teaching the Bible from eternity to eternity. And we're talking about dreams, visions, hypnosis. We're talking about special prophecy, special revelation, visitations and visions, and the interpretation of them. We are in the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, Ve'elei Shemot, as it says in Hebrew. And we're following the children of Israel around with Moses leading them the best he can. And Moses is having trouble with these rebellious children of God. Now, in the New Testament it says, the Old Testament, especially in dealing with Israel, God gives them to us as examples of us and how we treat God in our lives today. We're in the 15th chapter, in verse number 22. Moses has led Israel out of Egypt. He led them through the Red Sea by the power of and might of God. God revealed to himself and his plan to Moses every step of the way. In hypnotic trances, in visions or visitations, glorifying himself in the burning bush and with the pillar of fire and the smoke leading them, the pillar of smoke in the daytime, the pillar of fire at nighttime. The pillar of smoke in the daytime, everybody could see it or they could follow. And these were probably millions of people. They could see that physical, visible sign of God. That theophany. At nighttime, they could see the pillar of fire. And in the desert, it is cold at nighttime. Not only would the pillar of fire show them the presence of God, but also his wondrous power and warmth. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And he went 3 days in the wilderness and found Udamia, no water, not one bit. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore they named the place Marah, which means bitter. Mary comes from that very name also. Marian, Mary, all of that. It means bitter. So the people grumbled at Moses. The people continue grumbling at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and regulations, and there he tested them. He proved them. You take tests in school, don't you? You take tests sometimes on your workplace. And you take tests to see what you're made out of, to see if you can do it. I remember one time I worked for this outfit. The best salesman they had out there selling right and left, and the boss wasn't quite so smart. You know what performance means a lot. Well, this top-notch salesman took a test, and he failed the test. So he laid him off. That top-notch salesman went to work for somebody else and was a top-notch salesman there, and a lot of the people and a lot of customers went with him. Test. What was on that test, he didn't really need to know to be a top-notch salesman. We sometimes take our cars in and they do small tests on them to see what's wrong. Sometimes you have a red light going or yellow light going or whatever, and you do put a machine on it, a little computer machine, and it tells you what's wrong. Well, God wanted to see what these men were made out of. And so we tested them, and they were a frailty. they were of low quality, a low stature, and some of them had to be discarded. And he said, "And I will give you earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear or listen to his commandments, and keep, guard them with your lives, all of his statutes. And I will put none of his diseases on you, which I put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, your God, am your healer." I am your healer. Elokeinu. I am your healer. Your physician. Jesus was the physician. Remember when he walked among these people during his earthly ministry, healing people, proving that he was Messiah, King of Israel. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. And they camped there beside the waters. And remember, there are going to be 70 judges of Israel, aren't they? One under each palm tree. And the 12 springs of water for the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, when God was down in Egypt, when he went down to deliver his people, he actually did 12 miracles. But as he leaves, he continues doing more and more and more miracles. And the Lord now is going to deal with them and provide food for them. And this food was really a type, a figure of speech of what Jesus Christ would be. Then they set out from Elim. And all the assembly, all the congregation of the sons of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, and on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt, the land of red mud and canal banks. Now they're out in the desert, out in the desert, where there's not much water. They've been used to, for 400 years, Israel had a wonderful supply of water, that Nile River. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel kept on grumbling against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They kept on complaining. Now, God had taken them out of slavery, hadn't he? And misery. And hardships. And now they're out here in the desert, and they're afraid. You know, people used to come all the way from the Midwest and the East here, and they come out through this land. And all the way from Utah, all the way up toward Oregon or down, even if you come across those states down low. He had to come through what is called 29 Palms. He had to go through the Mojave Desert. I'm going to tell you something. There's animals out there in the Mojave Desert that can survive, and that's lizards and rattlesnakes and Gila monsters. And the Indians lived here and survived. But living in the desert is no easy thing. It's cold at night and sometimes very cold in the winter. And the whole congregation of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. There were groups of people that came out and got separated from Salt Lake City. They came this way in the southern route, and they got out here in this very valley where we live. Now, Fish Lake Valley had a big lake in it, and there was water here. But boy, you go there for 200 or 300 miles and it's going to be hard to find water. And when they got here, they could rest their animals up, they could let them graze and things, but when you leave this valley and you go that way toward Las Vegas, or you go that way through Death Valley, and it's called Death Valley for a real good reason. A lot of people died. There is a story, and it's very true, of a couple of wagons that got separated from other people, and they came through Fish Lake Valley, and then they went over what is called Gilbert Pass today. It wasn't like it is today. But they went down in Deep Springs Valley, and they kept on going. They didn't know what's on the other side of the mountain, by the way. On the other side of the mountain over there was Owen Valley. But this was toward wintertime. And Westgard Pass is not easy to go over. It's straight up and straight down on both sides. I mean, really sharp. And they were out there and by the old lake and the western side of Deep Springs Valley. And there were Indians out there, Paiute Indians, and the Paiute Indians shared their food with them for quite a while. These white people were really hungry, and they ate a lot of food. Finally, after weeks and weeks of becoming hosts for these white people, the Indian people realized that if they continued to feed them all winter, that they would starve. So out there, they finally decided to kill these white people and burn their wagons up and bury them in the sand. They either had that choice or to die of their own. These white people just weren't not acclimated to this country to where they could survive on their own. If it wasn't for the Indian people, many times they would have starved to death. And the very existence of these Paiute Indians in that Deep Spring Valley was paramount on having enough food to survive the cold, hard winters. And they were fast using up all of their supplies to keep the white people alive. So they killed them, burned their wagons all the way up, every piece of it, and buried all the iron in the sand dunes. And they hid that event for over 100 years. People were caught in the desert. They were caught in the wilderness. They did not know how to survive. Several colonies of Anglo-Saxons coming in, even in on the east coast, the northeast coast of America, they couldn't survive. They did not know how to fish. They did not know what to hunt. They did not know what to gather. There was the Jamestown colony that finally got so hungry one winter they began to eat each other. Just like up here, as you go over
Donner's
Pass. The Donner Party ate one another because they ran out of food. They made some wrong decisions. Israel is making some wrong decisions here. And the whole congregation of sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and God, and they kept on telling them, "Fear the Lord, fear Him, and keep His statutes. And I will put none of these diseases, I will take care of you." Now, God told mankind way back over here, in this period of time right here, this is human government. He told mankind, you go scatter out, you don't build big cities. The reason why God wanted man to live a nomadic life is because living in big cities, there was what we call a mutation of life forms called viruses and bacteria. And because of the big cities, we have a mass amount of deaths in Europe and the Middle East for thousands of years. The American Indian people over here, the ones in North America, especially North America, they lived a different kind of life. They were farmers. They created the Great Plains and everything, but they moved around. And there was no flu, no cold viruses, or anything in this country. No malaria. After 100 years, after the Anglo-Saxons brought disease from Europe, probably between 80 and 100 million Indians died within that 100 years of the diseases that were caused by living in congregated areas in the big cities of Europe. They brought here. It wasn't the guns that won the West or the Midwest. It was Anopheles quadrumaculatus and all the other diseases. You see, America had mosquitoes, but mosquitoes didn't have this parasite in their gut, which causes malaria or attrition fever. And all the diseases they brought over there from the big cities of Europe, especially when they brought the pigs to America, the Spanish armies had herds of hogs. And those hogs carried diseases, lots of diseases. And it spread like wildfire because the people in this country, North, Central, and South America, had no immunity to those diseases. They had big cities in South America and Mesoamerica and some large ones on the East Coast here. They said when the first white man or Anglo-Saxon came to the Northeast that there was lights in the night all along of big cities, Indian cities. Indian cities. They had great orchards. They had farms. They had plantations all the way back into the Midwest and the South. But when they brought disease, it devastated them. The whole congregation of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the wilderness, and the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, and for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, the whole assembly, with hunger." They were taking a test. You know, here in Fish Lake Valley, I used to give tests here about once a month. Well, I lived here before, and we have given, I think, two or three different ham test sessions here. They come and study for their ham radio amateur license, and they sometimes pass it if they prepared. Israel was flunking all the tests. Every time an obstacle come, they squalled and bawled and had fall-like fits. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life that come down from heaven. I am the water of life. I will rain bread down from heaven for you and your people until you go out and gather a day's portion every day, and I may test them whether they will do what I tell them to do, and if they'll walk in my instructions and in my statutes and in my edicts. And it will come about on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will last twice as long as any other day." So Moses and Aaron had some instructions for these people. And God told them, God in a visitation and a vision told Moses what to do. How to do it. At evening, you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the evening. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. For He hears your grumblings against the Lord. They weren't grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They were grumbling against God. Grumbling against the Lord, and what are we that you grumble against us? Now, He's going to rain manna down. Manna was a natural product of the tamarisk tree. These tamarisk trees would provide this, it was kind of like sap off of those old cottonwood trees, Marilyn. Remember how that was? Mm-hmm. And if you're around a pine tree, a sap comes off of them. But the sap that comes from this tamarisk tree It's very sweet. Now, you like to used to eat the sap from the cottonwood trees. You like the taste of it when you're a little girl. There were a lot of cottonwood trees out there on that farm we lived down there. And you can go down there and look for Marilyn and Mary Ann Larson's, the twins, and the YouTube, and you can see that farm as it was so long ago. Still wild with the cottonwood trees and the plants and the wild grasses out there before it was ever cut with a plow or the ground was ever torn up. Wild country. And Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening. He's going to give them manna in the morning. He's going to give them meat. Now, Marilyn's been wanting me to go quail hunting and chukar hunting, haven't you? Yeah?
Yes.
You want to do that? Because that chukar and quail is really good meat, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what God's going to give them is quail. And these quail are really big quail. They're about the size of a chukar. I'm going to give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against Him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against God, the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron. Now Moses is his spokesman, isn't it? God said, I'm going to make you like a God to Israel, and Aaron is going to be like a prophet, your prophet. Moses means to rescue, and Aaron means what? Light. Instruction. And say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your grumblings. And it came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked and toward the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Shekinah glory of God appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now this is a visitation, this is a vision, isn't it? This glory of the Lord. This is a Shekinah glory of the Lord, which is called a theophany. And he heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, for you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Marilyn, do you like waffles and pancakes?
Yes.
A lot?
Pastries.
You like pastries a lot. You like pancakes and waffles, real crispy waffles.
Crispy
with a little
ones.
Crispy ones, yeah. Do I make them for you every now and then, don't I?
Yes.
Now, this bread that God gave to them was like a waffle with honey on it. That tastes pretty good? Waffle with honey on it? I am the Lord your God. So it came about in the evening that quails came up and covered the camp. Quails just migrated into the camp, and the camp is maybe 2 million, 3 million people, a million and a half. That's a lot of people. That's a whole lot of quail. And there was a layer of dew around the camp in the morning. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing that as the frost is on the ground, it's just white flakes all over the ground. It was manna. Manna. Say manna. Manna. Manna means what is it? In Hebrew. And when the sons of Israel saw it, they said one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said, it is bread which the Lord has given you to eat. And this is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat, and you shall take an omer, about 2 quarts, a piece according to the number of persons. And each of this you has in his tent. It's omer. That's quite a little bit. About 2 quarts, some say 12 quarts, of manna. For each person. Now, would you get tired of eating waffles every day with honey on them? Well, Israel did. And the sons of Moses did it, and some gathered much and some little. And when they measured it as an omer, he who had gathered much had no extra. God is the equalizer of all things. And he had gathered little, had no lack. Every man gathers as much as he should eat. God's providing them. There's a 7-Eleven out there in the middle of this desert. You just go out there, and right there, you don't have to go anyplace. Right there in your camp, right out on the edge of the camp, there are quail that flew into the camp. You didn't have to go hunting for them. God sent them. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. Greed is a terrible thing in the human life, and that's what they were. Greedy. And they gathered it by morning, and every man as much as he should eat, but when the sun grew hot, it would melt. When the sun grew hot, it would melt. Now God told them in the rest of this chapter here, God told them, you go out there, in 6 days you gather all of this. On the sixth day, you gather twice as much as you did any other day. But now on the sixth day, your manna won't rot. Because you'll have enough left where you don't have to go gather it on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. And they would have this manna on Saturday, and it would not rot. And they would have enough. Any other day, if they went out and gathered a whole lot, everything that was left over rotted, and maggots got in it. And it said, now it came about on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one of them, when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. He said, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath. It's a complete, the word Sabbath or Sabbaton, it's mostly plural, it means a completion. The week is done. This is the last day of the week. And the last day of the week you're going to rest. And the last day of the week you are going to concentrate on me. The Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday. The Catholic Church 2 times changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. But the Bible says it's Saturday. The Sabbath, there's only one Sabbath, it's not Sunday. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil. And all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning. And they put it aside until morning, and Moses ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any maggots in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for tomorrow is the Sabbath of the Lord. Today you will not find any in the field. People are greedy. They are, aren't they? They are greedy guts. 6 days you were gathering, on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now the thing about this manna was a natural occurring thing. But it only occurred during certain months of the year, and now it's going to occur in abundance every month of the year. Enough to feed this gigantic congregation of people. If you go out on the Sabbath, there's not going to be any out there. But now let's look and see what these people did. It came about on the seventh day that some people went out to gather, but they didn't find any. They already had enough, didn't they? They wanted to fill a root cellar, so to speak, with manna. So the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instruction?" God appeared and God spoke to them in person. "How long will you refuse to keep my word, my commandments?" How long? Forever. The epitome of the rejection of God's word and the rejection of God was in the ministry of Jesus Christ. When he provided bread for them and he provided fish for them, he healed them, he raised them from the dead, and yet they would not recognize him as the Lord who led them through the wilderness. The Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day, and remain every man in his place, and no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel, by the way, Jesus is our Sabbath. We don't really observe a Sabbath today. But Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. We rest in him. We rest in his works. And the house of Israel named it manna. What is it? It looked like coriander seed, which is cilantro seed. It's white, and its taste is like wafers with honey. Remember what I said, wafers with honey, like pancakes or waffles with honey. Then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let a omer be kept throughout the generations, and that it may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses and Aaron take a jar and put a omer full of manna, a couple of quarts in it, before the Lord to be kept throughout your generation. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. And it's there today. And the sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. And they ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Provision. We have to be satisfied with what God provides for us, don't we? Don't we? We have to be satisfied with what God provides for us. God's provision. Israel was not satisfied with God's provision, was it? Israel always wanted more, 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 more. Some were lazy, and some were overzealous. But God provided for them all. God will provide for what you need in your life. Sometimes what you think you need and what you need is not the same thing. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out throughout the world. I pray that you touch lives with it, that you instruct them in your word, and in your statutes, your commandments, and your orders, that we would follow them better than Israel did. You gave all of this, all of these words, all this history for our instruction, so that we might not make the same mistakes that they make. Father, you gave us 1 and 2 Corinthians and churches so that we would not make the same mistake that the Corinthians did. You gave us 1 and 2 Thessalonians through Paul that we might not make the same mistakes they did. 1 and 2 Timothy, how to behave ourselves in the house of God. Thank you for all the instruction you give us, and help us put it in our hearts and hide it in our hearts and love you and not be like that rebellious Israel, that we might be obedient children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.